Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Talking about how Narada saw Krishna, the same Krishna, not just expansions, and saw him in many different places in the palaces. And there was some discussion about what it means when Krishna says sarvatak panipadam tat, that the Supreme has his arms and legs everywhere. It's not just, there are several different explanations of that, but the only one, the one that it, that Jiva Goswami takes it to ultimately mean, is that in the same one body, the Supreme Lord is all-pervading. Even though he has a limited body, that body is also everywhere. Now we're at 42.3. Ata eva nastanatopi parasyo bayalingam sarvatrahi iti sutram tatva vadibir evam yojitam. Thus the sutra of Vedanta, even manifesting in various places, the Supreme does not assume a dual nature since he is everywhere. Okay, that's exactly the topic. And that's the Vedanta Sutra statement on it. Iti sutram tattva vadibir evam yojitam. Stana pekshayapi paramatmano na bindam rupam hi yasmat tad rupatvam sarvatraiva sarva bhutesh evam eva brahma ityachak shate iti shute. That sutra, I'll read the sutra again. Even manifesting in various places, the Supreme does not assume a dual nature, since he is everywhere. That sutra has been construed by the Tattvavadis as meaning, they say, the Supersoul does not have separate forms, even in regard to location, because he has the same form everywhere. This is in accordance with the Shruti. They say that Brahman is just like this among all beings. Sarva bhutesha evameva brahma ityachakshate. Brahma is the same, even though he's present in all beings. He's present in the same form. And other statements also here being cited as evidence by the Tattvavadis. Eka eva paro Vishnu sarvatra pina samshayah aishvaryad rupam ekam cha suryavad bahudeyate iti matsyat. This is a statement from the Matsya Purana. Without a doubt, Lord Vishnu is the only Supreme, present everywhere in the same one form. By his opulent power, he appears as many, like the sun, as the sun is reflected. Or the sun over your head. You may be in Shanghai or in Cincinnati, wherever you are, the same sun is right above you. Or the sun is reflected in one pail of water and in a lake and in a mirror. And it's the same sun, the same image in all the mediums that are reflecting it. Then the Tathavadis also quote a verse of the Bhagavatam. Pratidvisham iva naika darkam ekam samadigatosmi viduta beda mohaha iti bhagavat bhagavatat cheti. That's the last verse of Bhishma Dev's prayer. We read the first one today. This is the last one. The verse of the Bhagavatam, now completely purified of the misconceptions of duality, I can meditate with full concentration on Him, like the one sun appearing differently before the eyes of each person. Avam. Okay, I think that's the end of the passage from the Tathavad commentary on that sutra. Jiva Goswami adds, Avam na bedad iti chena pratekam pratyekam atad vachanat iti etasya api chaivam eke iti etasya cha sutrasya vyakyane tad bhashye drishyam. The two sutras there. Also worth examining are the similar explanations in the same Tathavadi commentary on Vedanta of the sutras, these two sutras. One of them is, this cannot be contradicted by claiming that his forms differ, because each one of them is described otherwise as being not different. The forms of the Supreme Lord are all said to be the same. And the sutra, some texts, moreover, explicitly state this. That's the exactly following sutra. So some texts of the Shruti tell us in unequivocal terms that, yes, the Supreme Lord is present in many places, but in the same form. Sri Shukaha, the verses under the discussion, that's Bhagavatam 10, 69, 41, and 42, spoken by Narada when he visited Krishna. These were spoken by Sri Shukadeva. Commentary on this. Here Srila Jiva introduces a sequence of three sutras of the Vedanta. Okay, we had one and now two more. He cites Madhvacharya's commentary on the first of the three and leaves it to us to consult Madhva's Brahma Sutra Bhashya on the other two sutras. Difference in location is a sign of duality. Okay, usually when you find things located in different places, they're usually different things. Makes sense. You don't usually have the same thing in two different places. If Brahman, the Supreme Truth, is beyond duality, it should never move or be in one place and not another. Okay, it should be everywhere. But as Acharya Madhva, the founder of the Tattvavad Sampradaya, clarifies, Tadrupa Tvam Sarvatraiva, he has the same one form everywhere. The next sutra puts forth a counter-argument and refutes it. Impersonalists might say that the personal forms of God are inferior to the all-pervading formless supreme, because these forms are each different in appearance and activities. Okay, it's an argument of the Mayavadis. The supreme with form is an inferior aspect because all those forms, each one's different. And the supreme is supposed to be always the same. So there's something wrong, some contamination, if the supreme is appearing in differing forms. There shouldn't be any such difference in variety. This is Saguna Brahman then, contaminated Brahman. That's the Mayavadi argument. But that's refuted. Impersonalists may say this, but Sri Madhva cites as apparent support for this impersonalist position, apparent support for the impersonalist argument I just gave, is there in a statement from the Mandukya Upanishad. It seems like it's presenting the Mayavad idea. Karya karanak badhau tau ishyate. Let me start that again. Karya karana badhau tau ishyate vishvatayajasau pragya karana badhastu dvau tu turiye nasidyataha. The two forms of the supersoul who guide the finite. I got different forms of the supersoul now. The two forms of the supersoul who guide the finite souls in waking and dream consciousness act in connection with the manifest objects of creation and the subtle causes from which they are produced. The form of the supersoul who guides the jivas in deep sleep is connected only with the subtlest elements of creation. But neither the causes nor the effects of material creation reflect on the fourth form of the supersoul. So it sounds like we have four different supersouls, and three of them are inferior. They get entangled in duality, and only the Turiya, the transcendental supersoul that nobody ever sees, he's actually perfect. Well, okay, that seems to be the Mandukya Upanishad talking Mayavad philosophy. Jiva Goswami, we say, responding to the finite soul's needs in all different conditions of life, the Paramatma appears as if changing. He shows himself in the size of one thumb of the souls in whose hearts he shares residence, and those thumbs varies. Ant's thumb, elephant's thumb are different sizes. Because they may not have actual thumbs, but you can estimate what the thumb, what size it would be if he had one. He, the supersoul, Paramatma, shows himself in the size of one soul, one thumb, size of one thumb in the souls in whose hearts he shares residence. But then he is very big in the elephant's heart and very small in the ant's. He appears covered by cause and effect in daytime awareness and in dreaming, and covered only by subtle matter in dreamless sleep. For liberated souls free from attachment to cause and effect, he appears uncovered in his full glory. Okay, that's what the Mayavadis say. These four features of the supersoul manifest directly to reciprocate with finite souls in different states of consciousness. But they are not as impersonal. So we agree, okay, there's four different appearances of the supersoul, not four different supersouls, but he, in different situations, he shows himself in these four different ways. But these are not, as impersonalists propose, substantially different from one another. Madhvacharya cites statements from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, confirming that all these forms of the Paramatma are the same one supreme. The full and perfect personality of Godhead, the sole origin of everything that exists. Okay, this is interesting. We have Gopaltapani Upanishad and a few others promoting that Krishna is the supreme. But they are pushed, they're disregarded by impersonalists on the grounds that they're not original Upanishads. They're later forgeries, not real Upanishads. But here's the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now, strong pedigree Upanishad. No one denies that it's one of the original Upanishads and most authoritative. Some of the Upanishads are not very long, and in different Upanishads, different Upanishads talk about different aspects of the Supreme, different from different angles. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad summarizes the contents of all the other major Upanishads. Therefore, it's very big. It contains everything that the other major Upanishads contains, all in one book. So it's standard authority. No one denies its authority. And it's talking about that all the forms of the Paramatma are the same personality of Godhead. This is what it says in the fifth chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Esha ta atman taryam yamrita. This is the same controller who resides within you, the immortal supreme. So the supersoul in the heart of the conditioned souls is not some inferior expanded form. It is the original supreme. Ah, ayem eva sayo yam atma. This supersoul in the heart is the original Atma, from which everything comes. Oh, I'm sorry, that was another statement. Another statement from the fourth chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Yeah. Yeah, so you can ignore it. Ayam. Yeah, this is still, I don't know where I dug this stuff up from, but yes. Ayam eva so yam. Ayam eva so yo yam. Atme dam. Amritam idam. Brahm edam sarvam. Again, this is the same supreme soul, the immortal absolute truth called Brahman. Idam sarvam, from which everything comes. Super soul in the heart is janmad yase yataha, not some inferior expansion of it. And then another statement, although I haven't found what the verse number is, it's somewhere there in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Ayam vai horoyo, yam vai dashacha sahasrani, cha bahuni, chanantani cha. He appears in many forms of the same Lord Hari. It says many Haris. Yeah, but that means many forms of the same one Hari. As tens, as thousands, as countless multitudes. Tadetad brahma purvam anaparam anantaram abhayam ayamatma brahma sarvanubhur ityanushasanam. He is the absolute truth with nothing else before him or after him, nothing else within him or outside him. He is the Supersoul, the Supreme Absolute, who is aware of everything. Such is the teaching of the Upanishad. That's what Brihadaranyaka Upanishad tells us. Okay, that's the Mayavad presentation that's summarized in that one sutra, which is showing the Purvapaksha. That Purvapaksha is answered. The Purvapaksha again said, oh boy, going back here. Can't remember. This cannot be contradicted by saying that his forms differ. So the Purvapaksha is that the soul in our hearts, the super soul in our hearts, is not the original supreme because it takes different forms. Small form in an ant's heart, big form in an elephant's heart. So it's not, because it has different shapes, it can't be the original supreme. That's the Mayavad argument, the Purvapaksha. And it's answered in the rest of the sutra that says that's not so, because each one of them is described otherwise. Every one of these four different kinds of supersoul is described as being Brahman, the absolute truth. And then the next sutra, Apichaivam Eke, tells that some branches of the Vedas also state this explicitly. And then Srimad Vacharya tells us what Vedic texts actually do say this. This includes the Mandukya Upanishad, which the Mayavadis took as their evidence. That same Mandukya Upanishad declares that the one transcendental reality has many forms. Amatro nantamatrascha dvaitasyo pashamak shivaha omkaro vidito yena samunir netaro janaha. The all-auspicious Om. The all-auspicious Om has no measurement and countless measurements. All duality subsides in him. Only one who understands the syllable Om is a real sage, not anyone else. So, although there is no real difference among the various forms of God, they can be called different. You can say they're different because they appear in different places and exhibit various potencies. Or in the words of the Brahmatarka, Bato bandadi sakshitwad binno binneshu samstite nirdosha advaya rupopi katyate parameshwaraha. The personal form of the Supreme Lord is faultless and free from duality. But he is called bound because he witnesses the soul's bondage and conditioning. And he is called differentiated because he appears within different material situations. He's not actually bound, but he sits in the heart of the conditioned souls and witnesses their bondage. And he appears in different material situations, so some people think and say that he's differentiated. Well, what's a mystery to me is where I got all this stuff from. In the commentary. We don't have anybody's commentary on this. Yeah? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's it. Yeah, it's talking about what Madhvacharya says. I must have looked. Mystery to me. I don't remember looking. Okay. This seems to be a paraphrase of what Madhvacharya says. Yeah, Jiva Goswami tells us, he advises us to consult the commentary on this final sutra. So I guess I did. Okay, end of the file. We'll open up file 11 now. Okay, Anuchet 43. Okay, another statement. Actually, this is the... looks like we read the last half of this verse, the last verse spoken by Bhishma Dev before he passed away, according to the Bhagavatam. Here's the whole verse and some analysis of it. Tatacha tamimam maham ajam shadira bhajamam vidi vidi dishtitam atmakalpitanam pratidishamiva naikadarkam ekam samadigatosmi viduta beda moha. And thus we read, now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Sri Krishna, now present before me. Because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in the hearts of every embodied being. who all emanate from the Supreme Soul. He appears as if many, like the one sun, appearing differently to different eyes. Okay, it's after saying that, Bhishma left his body. Paraphrase by Jiva Goswami. Tamimam agrita evo pavishtam Shri Krishnam vyashtyantaryami rupena nijam shena sharira bhajam vidhi vidhi dishtitam. Kechit sodehantar vidyavakashe pradeshamatram purushantam purusham vasantam ityukta disha tad tad rupena bina murti vad vasantam api ekam abhinna rupam eva samadhi katosmi. Well, okay. The paraphrase given by Jiva Goswami of Bhishma's last prayer. I am fully meditating on this Sri Krishna who's sitting before me, who is situated in the hearts of all embodied beings, in his expansion as the inner controller of the individual souls. This means that although he resides in various forms as if having separate bodies. And that is the fact that he has many forms. He resides in various forms and it seems to have many different bodies. That's according to the indication of the statement in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. Some conceive of the personality of Godhead residing within the body, in the region of the heart, and measuring the span of a hand. Okay, if he's in the heart, that means he's in all the different hearts. And the hands are different sizes in all these different bodies. So we seem to have a variety of different supersouls. But nonetheless, he remains with one undivided body. Because that's what Bhishma Dev says. Pratyudisham eva naika darkam ekam. He's one, even though to different eyes he seems different in different forms. He's ekam, one. Commentary. Bhishma, the most noble of kshatriyas, was always devoted to Krishna and concerned for the welfare of Krishna's close friends, the sons of Pandu. Political circumstances, however, made Bhishma serve interests opposite to those of Krishna and the Pandavas. Despite being the most venerable elder in the court of the Kuru kingdom, and even in his old age, a warrior no enemy could stand up to, he was helplessly implicated in duality simply because of a promise he had made in his youth on his father's behalf. Now that the final battle had been fought and the Pandavas could claim victory, Bhishma was lying on his soldier's deathbed of arrows on the deserted battlefield, waiting for weeks his chosen time for leaving his body. Yudhishthira with his brothers and Krishna came to see him there. Yudhishthira asked and received from Bhishma extensive instructions on ruling, and the last moment was approaching as the sun just crossed the point of the equinox. Look at Sankranti. That's the equinox, right? I have it right? Yeah, solstice is when it's at the top. It hits the tropic. But the equator, that's the Sankranti when it crosses the equator. Okay. Equinox is where the path of the sun crosses the equator. It's called the equinox. Right? Finished with his advice to Yudhishthira, Bhishma said his last words in prayer to Krishna, fixing his eyes and heart on him in perfect trance. His very last statement was the verse taken up in this Anuchet. Krishna returned to the battlefield to share his dear devotee's most glorious minutes. He stood within Bhishma's fading glance to assure his death would be successful. Although, as mentioned in this verse, every created being has God in his heart, that's what Bhishma says, only a rare soul attains the perfect state of samadhi, in which the personality of Godhead is recognized as the absolute truth, one yet all-pervading. Bhishma's meditation on Krishna was completely mature, because in the end he fully realized this mystery, transcending the last traces of doubt. Okay, continuing. Okay, this is continuation of the paraphrase of Bhishma's last statement. Ayam paramananda vigraha eva vyapakash swantar bhutena nijakara visheshena antar yamitaya tatra spuratiti vigyatavan asmi. Why is it still tamo? Yatoham vibhuta bedo moha asyaiva kripaya duri kvito beda moho bhagavad vigrahasya vyapakatva asambhavana janita tanana vigyana lakshano moho yasya tata bhutoham. I have now realized that this supremely blissful body, Paramananda Vigraha, is all-pervading, Vyapaka, and that in one particular form, which originates within itself, it appears as the indwelling controller in various locations. Okay, Krishna is the original. Within Krishna is the Paramatma. Paramatma is an expansion of Mahasankarsana. Sankarsana expands into Mahavishnu, and then Mahavishnu and the two further expansions are the Supersoul. Expansion from Krishna. That Supersoul is the indwelling controller in various locations. I have realized this because I have been cleansed of the confusion of duality, viduta beda moha. That's Bhishma's words. In other words, okay, paraphrasing viduta beda moha, in other words, by his mercy, my confusion of duality has been driven away. Moho. Duri krito, by his mercy, kripaya, duri krito, driven away, the moha, my bewilderment. What is the bewilderment like? The confusion of thinking the body of the personality of Godhead to be many. Bhagavad vigrahasya, Vyapakatva asambhavana janita tadnanatva vigyana lakshano. This confusion arises when one denies that the Supreme Lord's body can be all-pervasive. So you assume it's a body, it has a certain limited size, it's not the all-pervading absolute truth, and therefore all these different bodies of the Supreme Lord in different places and different forms. This is duality. It's not the ultimate absolute truth. It's merely Saguna Brahman. And I have now, by his mercy, risen above that confusion. That confusion has been dispelled for me, Bhishma. Teshu vyapakatve hetuhu atmakalpitanam atmanyeva paramashraye pradushkritanam. How it is that he pervades all of these embodied beings is said, because he's in everyone's soul, so he's pervading all their bodies. Super soul, pervading in everyone's heart, is in effect pervading all the bodies of all the conditioned souls. He's in all those places. How he does that is said of those which are arranged within the self, the capital self, that is, which make their appearance within the self, the supreme shelter. Krishna is the supreme shelter. The super soul in all its forms are present within him. Let's see. Commentary. Grandfather Bhishma talks about Krishna's expansion as Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings, one but appearing in various sizes. But beyond this, he also has now realized that the original personality of Godhead, his beloved Krishna, pervades everything even apart from his expanding into different forms. Forget about all these expansions, super soul and avatars. Krishna himself is everywhere. It was delusion for him, Bhishma, to previously see Krishna as a separate person, limited in time, in space and time. Whatever has ever been, and whatever may ever be in the future, exists only in Krishna, and so he includes all. Okay, now there's an analogy, an example given to further clarify this in Bhishma's words. Tatra drishtantaha prati drishamiti pranidam nana desha stitanam avalokanam prati yataika Avar ko viksha kudyad upari gatatvena tatrapi kutrachit avyavadana sampurnatvena savyavadanas tu asampurnatvena anekadad vishyate tatet yartaha. An analogy is given in this regard, indicating that this is just as the one sun is seen in various ways, pratidisham, or to each different eye, in the various sight of the living beings situated in different places. The sun appears above trees, walls, and other objects, sometimes without obstruction, avyavidana, without any obstruction in its complete form, and sometimes obstructed, savyavadana, and seen, therefore seen, incompletely. Drishtanto yam ekasyaiva tatra tatrodaya ityetan matramshe. Vastutas tu Sri Bhagavad Vigraho Achintya Shaktya Tata Basate. This analogy applies only partially in the aspect of one object's appearing in various places. In fact, however, the divine body of the Supreme Lord appears as it does by his inconceivable energy. The sun appears to be in many places by some tricks of light. It's just a physical manifestation, and it can be explained scientifically how it works. But Krishna appears, Krishna can be everywhere by his inconceivable energy that no scientist can explain. Suryasya durasta vistirnatmata svabhavena iti visheshaha. The sun, in contrast, appears as it does, reflected in different forms, because it is distant and huge. There's a physical explanation of it. Okay. Commentary. Only few can see God in his full personality. But everyone with eyes sees some part of him. He projects his glories into matter through his creative energies in ways that no science will ever be able to analyze. These potencies of the Supreme Lord give apparent life and attraction to the inert products of nature. Allured, the bewildered souls surrender to the displays of material creation. But those few who have finer intelligence resort with faith to the Lord's spiritual energy, by the favor of whom they become privileged to realize something of the Supreme Lord's personal relationship to all existence. I think you have to say a personal relationship with. You don't have a relationship to somebody, you have one with somebody. Okay. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantyananyamanaso gyatva bhutarim avyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. That's Krishna talking in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Atava tam purva varnita swarupam. This is here's an alternative way to explain these last words at the end of the verse spoken by Bhishma. Atava tam purva varnita swarupam imam agrata evopavishnam sharira bhajam ridi ridi santamapi samadhi gatosmi. Or alternatively, this form sitting in front of me, whose identity has been described before, I now see in my meditation as he is present in the hearts of all embodied beings. Okay. It's sort of reading it a bit differently. The other, let's see if I can figure this out. No, even though I'm seeing before me, I'm realizing that I'm understanding that he's in all different bodies. Here's a further explanation of it. Yadyapi antaryami rupam etasmad rupad anyakaram tatapi etad rupam evaduna tatra tatra pashyami. Although the form of the Supersoul is different from this form before me. Okay, the Supersoul does not look exactly like Krishna, especially if Krishna is showing only two arms here. Krishna is more beautiful than his Vishnu expansions. So all of the beauty of Krishna is not shown completely by the Paramatma. So there's some difference in appearance. Still, it is this form which I now see everywhere. That means this form, the Krishna form who's sitting in front of me. That's what I'm seeing everywhere. Not Kshirdakshay Vishnu, but Krishna I'm seeing everywhere. In other words, okay, that's a different interpretation. That not only is he talking about Supersoul everywhere, actually what he's saying is now, at my last moment, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere. In other words, okay, Sarvato Mahaprabhavasyaitasya Rupasyagrato Anyasya Rupasya Spurana Ashaktir Iti Bhavaha. In other words, in the presence of this most potent form, no other form can show itself. Bhishma is able to realize the Supersoul and see him. But now he's amazed to see that in front of Krishna, the Supersoul turns into Krishna. The Supersoul can't manifest itself in the presence of Krishna. Commentary? Yogis meditate on the Supersoul within themselves, but devotees of Bhagavan look to him, to Krishna, instead. Although the Paramatma projects himself into all living hearts, when pure devotees look in their hearts, they only see their worshipable deity. In the spiritual world, where everyone are Bhagavad Bhaktas, there is no presence of the Paramatma. There is no need for him there. We hear that from Prabhupada. No Supersoul in Vaikuntha. Okay. Atra drishtanto desha bedepi abeda bodhanaya gyeyaha na tu purna purna tuavivakshayai. In this view, the analogy should be understood. If we read the analogy the second way, the second interpretation of the analogy, the analogy should be understood as explaining how something cannot be different, even appearing in different places. Can be not different, even though it appears in different places. Rather, than it's not that it's distinguishing between completeness and incompleteness. We're not saying that the Supersoul is incomplete. But we're saying that it's Krishna who's appearing as the Supersoul. Supersoul is still complete, but it's actually just Krishna in another form. Amilita drig vyadarayat iti Krishna evam bhagavati manovakaya vritti bihi it upakrama opasamharadi bir atra shri vigrahe eva prastuyate. Atra Shri Vigraha Eva Pastuyate. Okay. It's established, proven, that the theme of this whole context is the divine body of the Lord. Here we have a prakaranam, a section. The whole prayer is in conversations of Bhishma and the Pandavas and his prayers. That whole chapter, that's a prakaranam. What is it all about? What's the main theme of the chapter? How do you determine that? Well, the Mimamsa, the Karma Mimamsa, gives you methodology. You look for certain signs that indicate the theme. What is stated both at the beginning of the passage and at the end?
That's a very strong candidate for being the main theme. And here we have the very verse just before Bhishma's prayers and the verse that comes right after Bhishma's prayers, both saying the same thing. We're both talking about Krishna. Amilita Drigvyadarayat. He fixed his wide open eyes on him. That's said right before Bhishma starts praying. Him means Krishna. And right after, Bhishma finishes his prayers. There's the statement, Krishna evam bhagavati manovak kaya vritti bihi. He absorbed himself in Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So before and after the prayers, Krishna's mentioned. So the prayers must be about, not about Brahman, now about Paramatma, but about Krishna. Because Krishna's mentioned at the beginning and the end. That's evidence that he's the theme.
Tato nedam padyam brahmaparam vyakyayam. Therefore, this verse should not be interpreted as referring to impersonal Brahman. The verse meaning the last verse, the one we're analyzing here. Tadevam parichinatva aparichinatvayor yugapatstiter acharam charame vacha ityetad apyatra su sangachate. Since the Supreme Lord is thus simultaneously bounded and unbounded, the statement that he is immobile and also mobile, where is that stated? 13th chapter of the Gita. Well, after that, two verses after that. He's acharam charam evacha. He's movable and immovable. That's also perfectly compatible with this discussion. He's simultaneously bound and unbounded. He's moving and he's unmoving, both at the same time. Ato vibhutatve pi lilaya yatartmyam siddhyati. And as another consequence, even though he is infinite, his pleasure pastimes are real. He may let himself get tied up by his mother. Don't think that's illusory. That's just maya. That's reality. When the unlimited lets himself be limited by his devotees. Bhishmak Sri Bhagavantam. This verse was spoken by Sri Bhishma to the Personality of Godhead. Commentary. The Mayavad impersonalists misinterpret descriptions in revealed scripture of the various forms of God, taking them to mean that he is something in, that he, God, is something incomplete. The Supreme Lord, however, is never deficient, and even his inferior energies are complete in perfectly performing their delegated functions. Even his material energies are complete. They're perfect. They perfectly serve him in their material roles. Bhishma Dev is not one of the faithless impersonalists, looking for a formless supreme to merge into to avoid repetition of birth and death. Rather, what he turned his eyes and his thoughts to at the time of death was Krishna, the object of his worship. The narrator Suta Goswami prefaces Bhishma's final soliloquy with these words. Tadopa samritya girat sahasranir vimukta sangam mana adi purushe krishne lasat pita porte chatur buje puratstite milita drigvyadarayat. Thereupon, that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and fought on thousands of battlefields, and protected thousands of men, stopped speaking, and being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else, and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. Okay, Krishna was having four arms there in front of Bhishma Dev. But still, Super Soul doesn't look exactly like Krishna, even with four arms. Okay, we'll stop there. I have to go to Delhi tomorrow. And I have to stay for 2 days. So I won't be back till Friday. So Friday I'll give both classes. Today I'll give both classes. Okay. Tomorrow, Bhagavatam class, yeah. Okay, thank you. All glories, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.